You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning to you all. Welcome to Wake Up Tucson.
Good morning.
It's the Janco Clean the Studio edition.
What we?
Our good friend Luz is here. The one woman wonder.
Look at that.
She does more than five human beings can do at one time. Amazing. Ed Alexander.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty dandy.
Okay. How was the party? Pretty... I missed the party.
Well, you had a rough, not a rough day, but you just had a busy schedule last night. It was your daughter's birthday.
So. Yep. And she decided sushi was on the menu, so...
I'm sorry.
I gotta do it. I didn't have sushi. I'm just kidding. I don't do sushi.
So what did you have? You had the teppanyaki chicken?
Teriyaki chicken,
yeah. Think?
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. With the veggies were good. It was at Sushi Garden.
Okay.
Broadway and Country Club there. And
we just call it the Barrio Bread Center.
See that? Good thing. There's a natural food to there. I'm looking out the window and seeing that and going, I've never been in there. Wife says, they don't have wine. I said, oh, never mind.
See, back to two things. You just said bread and wine.
Right? That's, you know, gets simple after a while.
It's like that commercial, it does the body good.
Yep.
Wine and bread. What a Goomba.
So how was Mulligan's? I bet you the food was good. It was wait staff day, so hopefully the wait was short and the staff was good.
Actually, the servers were everything was fine.
Good,
you know it's a working person's place.
Yes,
this is not the fancy, you know.
Well, the pictures I saw looked really nice.
No, it's clean and nice. Don't get me wrong, but this is not going to Sullivan's or you know Fleming's kind of place.
Well,
this is a working guy and gal's place.
Right.
Food is what we thought it was. All the from scratch kitchen,
yeah,
making things that you would not like. They make this Korean barbecue lo mein. Who would think of that at the Mulligan's, you know, pub place?
Yeah,
and I had a couple people get it. They loved it. I tried a couple. CJ was there. He just hung out with us.
He was there.
He was off.
Heck yeah,
he was just hanging out just sitting in the middle of the dining room with us, just hanging out. That was great. So many. I wasn't sure how this day was going to work, because it's like, you know, graduations,
yeah,
and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
All this jazz. I was blown away, again, by the Wakeys.
Because you're on the east side, and that gives them a chance to come out finally, so that's nice.
Finally come out. What have you Wakeys been doing all this time? Finally come out. The person who I think was the long... Now, of course, I was pretty far driving from Oro Valley.
Right.
Barney was pretty far driving from the west side. Christian Schmidt's dad, Kurt.
Yeah.
He drove from Marana, for goodness sake.
Thank you.
I think he was the second longest trip to the happy hour on Golf Links in Harrison. Number one, got to get the drum roll going.
I know.
Hold on.
I was going to say Gary Davidson, but okay.
Umpire John.
Wow, Flagstaff.
Correct.
Dude, how sweet.
I didn't know he was coming. He just kind of shows up. There's
great
John.
Guy.
He was so good. Met a couple of, I can't believe I'm going to, these two sisters, they were sitting with Barney. You guys are listening, and I suck that I forgot your name. Great talking to those guys. Ladies, Carmen and Chuck were there from K Bonita. Margo and her buddy Suzanne. Suzanne was here to do that. They were talking about that Band of Brothers event they did.
Oh, absolutely.
And I asked her how that event went. She said they had over 300 people show up for that event.
It was a Saturday thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a lot of Wakeys showed up for that. She said it was amazing. Billy Netherton was there. Took a great picture with Billy. It's up on my Facebook page. It was really good. Really. Eastside Tom, our teacher, who calls up once in a while.
Yeah, sure.
He gave me a gift. So, first of all, I have Badger Bucks.
What is really
Badger Bucks? I have Oh, before I get on with this thing.
Well,
with
here's
the,
a picture from last night. Looks great. Love that place.
First of all, I would be remiss in not thanking Adriana again.
Thank you.
For a great job organizing this event.
Right. You go, we're going to have a party, and then somebody's got to make it happen.
She's doing it.
That's a good thing. Thank you, Adriana.
So right now, what we're working on for the next one is we were talking, remember last time Carmen was here from Cape Anita?
Yeah.
And I asked her how Mother's Day went, and she said it went really well. And she goes, she can't believe how many wakies show up from Oral Valley and Marana who drive all the way across town to her place.
Because it's good shopping. It's a great place to go.
And she always says she's nervous when she comes on and does these, she can't believe we're talking about clothes and stuff on a radio show, right? Mm-hmm. And all these people come and go, we love when you come on. You know, I said, well, you're passionate and knowledgeable about your stuff. People like that. So we're going to do a Christmas in July road show. Where Carmen is going to do a pop-up store in a place that's not on the east side. She wants to open up her stuff to people to come closer to her goods. So we're working on that. So Adrian and I are trying to nail down a locale, either more like northwest side, like Oral Valley, maybe that Ina Oracle area. So
you can't do it in Midtown because...
Well, it's too close to her place, too. We want to expose her to a new group of people that maybe don't drive out to Tankaverde. So we got a couple of places we're working on. So we'll let you know. It's going to be the Christmas in July road show for Cape Bonita is the next happy hour.
You can do it in that new fitness place at Grand Alvernon. They go, there's an empty Circle K there.
They blew up the Circle K.
It's still there. They took the pumps down like they always do. And there's, of course, been an empty Walgreens there forever. That's big enough. I mean, there's a lot of empty stuff at Grant and Alvin. Now we could get this thing rolling.
According to a few folks, Karen and Jody were my two sisters. Thank you, Barney. All right. Appreciate it. Karen and Jody, they came over when 104.1 blew up, and welcome to the Wake Up family. Appreciate it. Just got a text from someone that Circle K is either slated to become a eyebrow weaving place or a new vape shop. So, well, that's good. That'll help the neighborhood. Nothing against you eyebrow weavers. Now, so, East Side Tom. He gives us Ed. This is gold. This is pure comedy gold. Or as Kenny Banya said in Seinfeld, it's gold, Jerry, gold. All right. We have the Restorative Circles and Schools book for TUSD 2018-2019.
No, you mean they're still doing that?
Of course. They didn't change anything.
Oh my gosh.
And the Restorative Practices Handbook. Okay. And then.
Wow, what a great present.
We have this is how official they are, the packet of papers, which is the actual TUSD discipline code.
There it is.
So I got that too.
Small print.
So we're going to
go through that.
Comedy gold.
Then
Badger Bucks is the other thing I got to get to real quick. John, I'll get to you in 2 seconds. So Badger Bucks are photocopied dollars that have the Tucson High School Badger.
Well,
Badger
okay,
Bucks.
Cool. Can you use them in the gift shop, the school shop or whatever?
Yes.
So you can buy, T-shirts and sweatshirts.
Spicy hot Cheetos or kind of thing.
Sweatshirts or,
And I guess if you get enough of them, you can actually, pay for your prom admission with these things. But Now, here's a guy. He's been teaching for 30 years. Eastside Tom, okay? And he was killing me. Just killing me. So, hold on for 2 seconds. I got to tell Crystal something.
Hold on.
Hi. That's okay. I'm looking for a song. Any ideas? You want to have any requests this morning? 790-2040. We can do that.
I had to make sure Crystal didn't put more water in the coffee maker.
Oh, my gosh. Trouble. Overflow.
That's my my morning sister from the groove is, of course, I see her prowling around the coffee machine going, coffee.
Don't touch it.
So I was going to say Badger Bucks. So you're thinking, basically, he calls it, it's like protection money, right? So what you do is when, it's not like they're giving it for kids to doing good things.
No.
It's for them for not doing bad things, right? So he was killing me. He goes, here, Jimmy, here's a Badger Buck for not pulling a switchblade on me today. Here's a Badger Buck.
There's payoff.
Right? Oh, here, Tammy.
Ghetto payoff buck. sucks.
Here's for not wearing your tube top to chemistry
right?
today.
Right? You would think this might be the, you know, the Bronx in 1950s. Here, baby. Don't put a switchblade. Here. Yeah, here's $5.
Here, Johnny. Thanks for not using your vape pen in English today.
Yeah.
Here's a Patcher buck.
Oh, my gosh.
When he was telling me this, he just had me rolling. So I got Badger bucks. Let's see, how many Badger bucks did I get today?
Can I have a couple just in case?
Sure.
I got six
Badger bucks. I can sell them on eBay for $3.
Yeah, that's protection, right, people. That's what that is.
When he said, here's a Badger buck, Jimmy, for not pulling your switchblade on me.
Right? Welcome to high school. We're not picking on Tucson High. I mean, this is just TUSD.
It's TUSD.
Like, come on.
Again, this is why all these folks with their taxpayer preschool crap, it means nothing, because once they get the TUSD, it gets blown up. 790-2040. Let's go to Umpire John on line 2. Umpire John, good to see you yesterday, sir.
It was a fun. It was a hoot. We were coming from San Diego to go into Flagstaff, but I had to loop through Tucson. So let's go to a party. And I met some neat people. I did get to meet Eastside Don, and I heard that comment about the Badger Bucks and don't pull a switchblade on me. Yeah, that was good. And met Mark, the teacher, and those guys are, you know, those guys are heroes for what they do.
They are.
Brushfire Sean, met him.
Oh, that's true.
Time.
Now that's a hell of a table. So check this out: Brushfire Sean, Umpire John, and Mark, the STEM teacher from Tucson High. That was a heck of a table last night, buddy.
That was fun. That was a lot of fun. And you introduced me to CJ, and he was kicking butt. He had good staff on, and I went to him and said, okay, I need your two. I need a half dozen wings of this, two different flavors. And he hooked me up.
Nice.
His beer taps were good. And obviously Barney Brenner was there. Saw Matt Neely again. Re-met Margot.
Absolutely. It was a great crew last night. I was thrilled.
Yeah, good crew.
Thrilled.
And I had to sit and eat for a while, otherwise I'd met more people.
That's true. So, well, it was so amazing that you were there. It was a really fun surprise.
It was a good time. Good time. Good to see Lisa again. Missed Ed and Julie, but there you have it.
All right. Well, John, stay safe out there in the friendly skies, and I'll see you sometime this summer up in Flag.
That sounds good. Will you give me a Badger buck if I don't shake the stick and cause the stewardess to spill coffee everywhere?
You are correct. I have a Badger buck for Umpire John. I'll mail it to you.
There you go, sir.
Bye-bye. All right, sir. Have a great day.
Sweet. Be safe.
790-2040. Wake up Tucson comments at gmail.com. Phil and Kate were there from Brood. They live so close, they rode their bicycle, for goodness sake. This is what we do. We're promoting green stuff. Kate and Phil rode their bikes from their house to Mulligan's.
That's great.
To join us yesterday.
That's so cool.
And then she brought the coffee on the bike.
Really?
She gave it to Slavin because I forgot to pick it up from him. So Dave Slavin's driving around with our coffee someplace. So
his car's going to smell real good.
Don't lose it, Slavin. That's all I'm telling you. Don't lose it. Don't, you know, sometimes he's not paying attention when he's all that moody blues he's listening to. This is what goes on. So, all right, Ed, show me the board for today. What do I got?
What would you like? You like a ham sandwich or a Reuben here?
Dan Shearer, Green Valley News.
Ham sandwich.
And Allie Miller will be here at the 8 o'clock hour.
Space spicy meatball.
And I'm just telling you, one of the things that the story in Dan's paper, we'll talk about her. So they had a little contentious vote to appoint a constable yesterday. And the constable turns out to be the appointed chairperson of the stupid Klepsi Law Enforcement Commission that voted against Stone Garden, $5,000 for a seatbelt campaign, and I don't know, the scanner to scan people at public events so they can't bring a bomb in. She was up for a constableness.
Same people, same friends of the family.
It's like the Ray Carroll JOP.
It is.
Take care of your friends.
That's all it is. Pay off time. Give them some Give them some Badger bucks, man.
Great letter on funding preschool to the Star we're going to get to today. We're going to talk about NBA ratings, Ed, on where they're at for playoffs.
Okay.
The fate of local newspapers, according to the editor of the New York Times. The other thing we have is...
well, you better hurry. We're going to get to it.
Sir. Let's go to break.
Yeah.
What do you got for me? What's our first
Al
bump out?
Al called, wanted to hear some AC/DC.
Wow.
I said call for a request when you went out and were making coffee.
That's right.
So
790-2040. You're on 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk. What's the name of this song?
Bo Diddley.
By who?
Bo Diddley. It was simple back then. Things are a lot easier.
So I love that that commercial for the acetaminophen.
Yeah, the public service.
What thing. I love about that commercial, think about what that lady says. She goes, if you're taking a lot of acetaminophen, right, which is Advil, right? Or is that Advil or is that Tylenol? That doesn't really matter. I think it's Tylenol. And it says you're drinking three drinks a day, then you should probably, you know, keep an eyeball out for yourself. And I'm sitting there going, hey, without taking Tylenol or Advil or anything else, if you're doing three drinks a day, you got a bigger problem than just your Advil kids. Gosh. Let's 790-2040 is the phone number. Not a problem. So this is a little update from the ESPN, or as Bobby Boucher's father once said, the ESPN. So we know that ESPN is owned by Disney ultimately, and they were having a lot of, I guess they thought they were being cute because they had their folks really wading into politics, especially since the Colin Kaepernick take a knee thing for football. So the guy who now runs the ESPN actually has now said that they're done doing it, and how in the end ESPN needs to improve ratings and try to get as many eyeballs on their product. So for them to jump into sports, here it is. This is it's called ESPN. This is by Mr. Nolte on Breitbart, John Nolte. Jimmy Pitaro, how you doing, conceded defeat Monday by finally admitting, quote, without question, our data tells us that they do not want ESPN to cover politics.
Right.
So is
brilliant.
I like the Nolte writes, well, no blank.
Right.
You needed your data to tell you that,
I know.
Jimmy.
We have to have research. We're so out of touch with the world, we don't know what people really want. We just spend a lot of money.
You needed to convene something to do a tabulation to deliver some data, Jimmy? Maybe it was the 15 million lost subscribers. Was that the data? Maybe it's the endless complaints across social media, the editorials. Maybe it's the layoffs. Maybe the massive layoffs were the data, Jimmy. Perhaps it was the rating crash. Maybe it's your horrible consumer sentiment towards your product.
Thank you.
Seriously, Jimmy, please do tell us with this data of what you speak.
How dumb. How out of touch.
Pitaro makes it clear he sat down with the anchors and told them to shut up about their personal opinions and to focus on players and games.
Thanks.
Pitaro has also satisfied ESPN's traditional fans by steering them away from political discussions on air on social media, which was, of course, heightened during President Trump's criticism of NFL protests across against social injustice in football games.
Yeah, the Kaepernick picture that's ingrained in your mind forever. Your mind's eye will see. I don't even want to see that ugly guy again, first of all. Then second of all, they just played it over. It's on every news thing, da-da-da-da-da, for, you know, a year and a half, and we stand by it. Well, look what happened. Dun-dun.
I like this one. So think about all these people who, you know, they think they're really, really smart, right? So this guy, Pitaro, the head of ESPN, my job is to provide clarity. I really believe that some of our... This line is so good. Ed, you're going to love this line. Some of our talent was confused on what was expected of them.
Maybe you should have a staff meeting, jerko.
We just let them go.
No
emails, no meetings for 3 years.
No problem. We're just going to take the Nike money, and we're going to take all the money, and we're going to go out and have dinner every night and put stuff up our nose and call it to the NFL and ESPN. It's like, come on, people. We're all tired of it. We're tired of it.
So anyway, the market has helped ESPN see their way to the light of getting into politics.
Is that ABC? Does Disney?
ABC
have,
Disney.
Does Disney has something to do with that?
Of course.
Of course. Of course. The mouse.
They're doing a good job on Star Wars. Anyway, let's go to break. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News.
Yay!
I don't know if he's still awake because he's been doing so many things this week. He's working, he's working Buckmaster's show while Billy's on vacay, right? And he had a huge party to launch his app on Monday. Remember that big party?
Yeah.
The one that started at 4 a.m. because they wanted to do it right at Green Valley lunchtime. They really rocked it. So, Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. They're getting to Culver's, too, and Dutch Brothers.
Wow.
It's kind of like civilization down there now.
We're not talking Sal Reed. We're talking Green Valley.
No, it's both. It's serious.
All right. Okay.
Pink Floyd time.
Sure.
For headphones only. Wake up. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. You know, they used to say Sammy Davis Jr. was one of the busiest guys in show business. Yeah. I think right now Dan Shearer is reflecting that. Think about this. He's got to put this newspaper out, right? He's got he's the editorial director for WIC Newspapers. He's been filling in for Billy Buckmaster, and he was serving cream of wheat shooters Monday for the big app party. At his launch party at 4 a.m. at the offices at Green Valley News Monday. And he just hung up. No, hey.
No, I didn't hang up.
Soon.
But I'm going to.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. You know, that app launch party would have been very eye-opening for a lot of people because you had all these folks from Green Valley. And I would say almost everybody who came in was over 70. Some of them were over 80, and they have their iPhones or their Androids, and they're saying, "Help us download the app." Or several of them had already downloaded it and just wanted the free goodies. And they are moving ahead technologically, and it's really cool to see. And so one of them actually said to me, "You know, I think I'll just keep this app and drop the print paper." Not what I wanted to hear, but
Ooh-ah.
You know what? We're all kind of moving in that direction, and so they are dozens of people, and they want to figure things out. So it's really cool.
We know it's moving this direction, and you got to get on board is where we're at.
Yeah, absolutely, and people want the ease, and they're saying, you know, now our two-day-a-week paper can be a seven-day-a-week paper. Yeah, we've been there for about 20 years, but, you know, welcome aboard. It's called the Internet, and we can give you alerts, and we can, not bother you if you don't want to be bothered, and tap you on the shoulder when there's something breaking in your community you should know about. And, yeah, you don't have to wait for Wednesday or Sunday anymore. And guess what? We do video, too. And so there's lots of different things that people are kind of turning on to, and now they have to decide, okay, out of all that stuff, what do I really want?
Right.
And so it's kind of like this a la carte thing, you know. And some of them just want to wait till Wednesday or Sunday. And a lot of the news we print can wait. And so if they can wait and get it in the paper, they're fine to do that. But if there is a fire on the mountain, they want to know about it right now.
Is it true if I download the app, there's literally I can see what you're doing at all times when you're in the office? Is that what's...
No, we don't have one of those because you don't want to see what we're doing. And so, and if you've ever been in my office, it's about 80 square feet, and I'm fudging a little. So, I don't think they could fit a camera in there anyway.
I have been in your office, and you are fudging a lot.
It was a former storage closet, and they ran out of room on the floor and said, "Oh, let's put him here." So, but anyway, the app is free, and you can download it. But we are moving toward a paywall, which we do have up. But if you download the app, you get everything free for 30 days. But that kind of segues into a topic, if you don't mind, I'd like to talk about that. where we're going as newspapers, and how the circulation dollars are very important now. People paying for the news. We, of course, have set the standard where people can get it for free for years and years and years, and now we're saying, we want you to pay for it. And people are, some people say, I get it. It's a business, and to have journalism, you need money. And others are saying, well, wait a minute, I don't want to do this. So we're at that point now where we're trying to figure out how to break it to people that it's no longer free.
So two things. One, of course, is that if you're doing compelling, relevant stuff,
right?
People will sooner or later. The people who care will. The problem is there's a bigger percentage of the population as we move through every year who just doesn't care about news whatsoever.
Right. Sure. Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest threat to this whole thing.
Well, and they're getting it's the frog in the boiling water situation, because they think that what they are seeing on their social media is actually news, and when a lot of the stuff is rumor or innuendo or accusation, or
that's the key, dude. That's totally it.
Yeah, back and forth baloney, and that's not news, and that's not anything you want to push as news. But they're not used to what news is more and more, because there are fewer professional journalists out there doing it.
So I don't really care what Dean Baquet from the New York Times, and I know you were there, the International News Media Association World Congress last week. I know you were there.
I was not there, but Dean Baquet was in town actually last year, I believe it was, in Tucson, and I went to hear him. And I'm thinking, when does this guy ever actually edit? Because he travels a lot, and he's talking at all these events, but I don't think he actually really edits. He just kind of takes angry phone calls from the president on occasion, and then goes and onto the rubber chicken.
But didn't we learn this from Hollywood, right? If you put the word executive,
yes,
that means you don't actually do what the next word is.
And he is the executive editor. And so he goes out, so he was at this International News Media Association World Congress, and he made a statement that a lot of people are kind of raising their eyebrows at, that local news papers in the next 5 years will be dead.
Yes.
I would take great exception with that, because first of all, no one is denying that we are in a situation where we got to kind of figure things out. And no one's also denying that hundreds of communities across the country are without a local paper who had one maybe 20 years ago. But people are figuring things out, and the circulation dollars are part of it. They're learning how to go after what communities want and leaving behind what they don't want. We can't do things like we used to do it a few years ago, but no business should be doing what they're doing a few years ago if it isn't working. So we're going to figure it out. But the New York Times has done well as far as their digital subscriptions and that type of stuff. And the big papers are doing fine. The smaller papers are doing okay. It's the middle of the road ones like the Star or the Republic or whatever that have really been struggling. They have more overhead. They're trying to cover a bigger area, more employees, which of course is always your biggest expense when you're running a business is salary. So we are figuring it out, and we're going to, and we have to. And I think it's a question of democracy. I think that a solid, objective press is very important to how we run the country.
Well, and at the same time, as an advertiser thing, right? You're saying, okay, who's your, what are you selling out there? Who are you attracting, right? So by going hyper local, whether it's this show or what you're doing, right? There's this relevancy to the community, right? If you were someone from one of these middle ground papers that says you're, covering your city, but most of your stuff is AP and Trump's a bastard stuff, well, after a while, Trump a bastard is all over the place.
Right, exactly. And, it's very interesting, again, on this app party, because you're just talking to people and taking their temperature, and that is so key to any newspaper, is to not think you know what the people are thinking, but go out and ask them what they're thinking, or, like we did, have an event. And a lot of them are saying, you know what, everything is so politicized today, we're just sick of it. And so every once in a while, people kind of need to take a break, and what you don't want them to do is to take a break by putting your paper down and walking away perhaps forever. So you have to understand where people are as far as some of this stuff goes. And you and I live in are walking on these paths that most people aren't, where we're very heavily involved in issues. We understand them really well. We go to meetings. We track this stuff. We know the movers and shakers. But most people are far removed from that, and I think they don't care nearly as much about it. And so we kind of have to put the important stuff in front of them, but understand that the in-the-weeds stuff is maybe not something you want to parade out there all the time in a newspaper. Now, in a talk situation like you are, where you have time to delve into it and get people to come on the air and actually, in their own words, explain something,
correct,
I think is very valuable, very valuable. But sometimes we have to understand, sometimes people just want to go light. There have been times when I've turned your show on and you're talking about movies or food,
right,
and I thought to myself, oh, good. I'm glad.
Right?
I need the break.
Well, and that's true. So some people have told me, like maybe some of the folks that either have maybe when 104.1 blew up and they gave they're listening to the show and they're like, oh, I wish you'd talk, we like when you talk about national stuff, and I do it once in a while, right?
Sure.
But it's kind of like, think about what's dominating the news right now between Fox and MSNBC and CNN, right? If you look at all the stories that they're covering, right?
Yes.
Nothing's changed since Trump took over.
It's
right?
Trump.
He's still
Trump,
there.
Trump.
He's still the president, right? And
yep,
nothing, all these stories about getting him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, his status as president hasn't changed in 2.5 years of millions of hours of stories that he's a bastard and Mueller, Comey, and all these people are going to get him.
Okay. Now you take this down to a local newspaper level, and this is why we cover Dutch Brothers Coffee opening, because you know what? I will tell you, I will get a reaction to that story 10 times what I would get for pretty much anything else, because it's very local. People care about this stuff, and it's a break. It's a break.
Dan, it's like I've been saying, I figured this out finally a couple of years ago also. You know, tell me something I need to know, okay,
yes,
that's going to change my world today. You know, Trump and collusion is not going to change it. You know, the headlines on TV news, the local TV news, that there was a crash and somebody shot somebody, that does not affect me in any way, okay? In my little circle, that, you know, there five people in that family are affected. It's not nice that they got shot and killed. I get it. But
right,
it doesn't mean anything in the day-to-day, anything except maybe a statistic for reals. I mean, tell me, you got 5 minutes. Tell me something I need to know.
Well, your ESPN story, I was laughing out loud as you were talking about it, because who on earth would think that we want sportscasters to be talking about politics?
Right.
Everybody goes to sports for a break. They don't want to hear that. And as you pointed out, a lot of these sportscasters are lunkheads. They cannot speak intelligently about politics.
Ooh.
You know, and why do we give a rip about, you know, a Leonardo DiCaprio going in front of the United Nations and talking about a carbon footprint? Well, he's getting the attention because of who he is. He doesn't know anything.
Right.
You know, this is like, you know, the Kardashians talking about global warming. Really? You know, maybe if I wanted to know about makeup and you know, stuffing, I'd be into it. But no, I don't care what they have to say, but it sells, unfortunately.
So the one thing I want to say this before I go to break, right? So think about, so let's give ESPN credit, right? It took them 2 years to get there.
Sure.
But they figured out, oh, God, what the hell are we doing, right? So here's the mainstream press and the CNNs and MSNBCs that filled your day with collusion and Mueller report. The Mueller report comes out, there's nothing there, right? They get the redacted more of, there's nothing there. And you know what they're doing? They're still doing collusion.
Yeah.
When do you finally learn?
Yeah. America doesn't care.
I'm with Ed. Why did it take him 2 years and studies and all this money to figure out, hey, this is what people want from our sportscasters? Sports.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have.
All right, let's go to break. When I come back, this constable story that you guys are running at GVNews.com or on the app.
Yep, on the app.
It's hilarious because when I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, the Klepsy story got stupider?
It's stunning. Absolutely stunning. There's no other word for it.
All right. County. We're going to do stunning with Dan Gibson. Dan Gibson. Duh, sorry. Dan Shearer.
No.
Dan Shear. I get these Buckmaster hosts replacements mixed up all the time. Sorry. We got to talk about Culver's is coming, too. So Culver's and stunning news about Pima County.
Hey, your comments, please. 790-2040. It's your show. Come on in.
Oh, there we go. Little 21 Pilots with Fairly Local. I thought that was good for me and Dan after our last discussion. Dan Shearer, Green Valley News. He jabbed that at the party on Monday at the app thing. Dan Shearer, welcome back, sir. I appreciate it. Hey, where's Dan Shearer at? There he is.
There we go.
Wow. Dan's got a lot of stuff going on. Let's talk about this constable story, because I'm looking at this going, oh, and Allie Miller will be on at 8 o'clock. Trust me, we'll talk about this.
I'm sure. Well, she had the best quote of the meeting, where she said, basically, I don't think she understands what she applied for. Because the fact is that nobody really understands what a constable does. They're an officer of the court. They're a sworn officer. They can carry a gun. But basically, they work for the justice courts, and they carry the paperwork. A constable is like a dentist. Nobody wants to see them. And so it can be a dangerous job. They serve orders of protection. They evict people. They always have bad news. And that's what the job is. And so
now before you move on, just add to that, didn't you guys do a story about you did a ride along with a constable?
Tom Schenick, former police officer, and is our constable down here in our district, and we did a story in 2017. So if you call this story up on our app or on our website, we have a link to it, and Tom just kind of gave us full access to what he did. The guy who was in there before Tom, who was there for 12 years, never let us do anything with him, and so I was really glad for Tom kind of giving us helping people understand what the job is.
Didn't we learn that he was spending, you guys couldn't believe how many people who weren't paying their wastewater bills?
Yes, and so you're not allowed to turn off. You can turn off someone's water, but you can't turn off like their toilets.
Right,
and so you have to sue them instead. And that night that the reporter was with him, it was just lawsuit after lawsuit, people getting sued over this by the county. And so that's what he was doing, is going knocking on people's doors and saying, the county wants their $400, and you're going to be in court on Monday. So it's always you're always delivering bad news. It's a tough job. Tom, by the way, I have met few people who've been more excited about their job than him. He loves it. He loves going after the bad guy, but he also has a heart and understands that sometimes people just get into rough situations, and you have to really be a gauge of people and kind of know the human condition to do the job. It is not an easy job.
So Mary Dorgan, a Democrat, was the former constable here in this district, resigned in March, and then so they had to appoint a new person.
Right, and this is an elected position, so this person will take over until, I think 2020 is the next election for this. It's a 4-year term, and so you get to apply for the appointment. I think they had 3 people apply, 1 dropped out. You're down to 2 people, and boy, did my jaw drop when I heard that one of them was Kristen Landrum, and she was the head of the Klepsi committee, the one that's been turning down all this grant money for law enforcement, and now she wants to join them. Kristen has tried to present herself as kind of even-keeled and understanding and hearing both sides and everything. But if you look at her history, she is clearly anti-Border Patrol and has not had a good relationship with the sheriff. By the way, the constable oftentimes has to call for backup when they get into a real tense situation, and that's going to be a sheriff's deputy you're going to be calling. So I think she's going to be in for a real education on what people are really like, and I think she'll get all the support she needs for this. But what a strange situation. I think you said it well when you said, you know, the Klepsi thing, could it get any more weird? And for her to go after this job, it just got weird. But she has said she wants to be the constable with a heart.
Oh, Jesus.
I have a constable in my family, okay? It is a hard,
Oh, yeah.
Hard job. Oh, yeah. It's a dangerous job because people don't want to see you at the door. And it's not good. I mean, they wear a gun and because they have to protect themselves.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a fun job. This is not a cake job like Ray Carroll being Justice of the Peace.
So Dan, here's a question for you. So I was trying to look up because Kristen is the chairwoman of this stupid Klepsi thing. They shot down the $5,000 for seatbelts. They shot down the scanner for bombs for public events, right? So but I was looking at where she was on these votes, and of course the Pima County, when you look at their minutes, their summary, it doesn't say who voted how. So how did she vote on some of this stuff?
She voted against the Stone Garden money, and she voted for the $5,000 for the car seats because, you know, you got to be completely over the edge to not have voted for that. But
Isabel Garcia.
Yeah, and she did, and enough of them did where they recommended that it turned down. But Kristen has largely come down against the law enforcement. And again, it's because they feel they haven't been held accountable. But by far, the most interesting thing about her is that she made a lot of statements at a meeting a couple months ago. Chuck Huckleberry ends up writing a very long memo that said she's wrong. She said, look, we shouldn't accept this money because it's for overtime, and these deputies are already overworked, and there aren't enough of them to cover what they're supposed to cover for us. Chuck said, simply not true. In fact, they might be overstaffed. Maybe they'll welcome this. So there were several points that she made, including that Sheriff Napier was hiding information from them. Chuck says, I haven't worked with anybody who's been more open than Napier. And so this is what gets me, is when they're putting out these untruths that most people simply are going to grab onto and say, look, this is what she said, rather than actually check it out. His memo came back around and said, really, I would recommend that you accept the Stone Garden grant because all of their opposition to it is simply, it can't be sustained. It's not accurate.
Steve Christie, quote, the candidate served as the chairman of a Klepsi and on numerous occasions spoke against law enforcement, against the sheriff, against the law enforcement community in general. And my concern is for someone to take a position as constable requires in a belief in the fundamental values of upholding the law.
The law. Law.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, you know, but this is the situation, and my question is, how well did they advertise that position? Because I bet you have a lot of former law enforcement, which are generally who the constables are, who would be interested in doing this. And so, and I'm not saying that she's not qualified because, but I'm also not saying you're qualified just because you got the appointment. So she's in there. It would be interesting to track her numbers over the next year to see how successful she is at serving some of this paperwork. And I wish her the best. It's a dangerous job. It really is.
Okay, so here's the thing about, so when you talk about, you know, because we have qualifications a little bit, right? Like, are you qualified to do this job? So what I've seen so far is she's the one who started Indivisible Arizona, right?
Yeah.
Is something that's I've seen that on her resume. What does this woman do for a living?
Well, that's crickets.
She's going to have to work hard now.
Actually, she is in the sciences, and I can't remember if it's a geologist or something like that. She also, for a time, ran a newspaper down in Aravaca. I think it's called The Connection. But I do believe by training she has some sort of science-type background.
So this is from one of the one of the ADI stories on this. I was just looking at what this woman does, right? Formed Indivisible Arizona LLC, according to the website, where a group of citizens that are taking action against the extremist Trump agenda. We organize to take on Trump and his ideas at local, state, federal level. Our members of Congress need to be reminded that they represent all of their constituents. So I don't know what Indivisible really Arizona really does, other than it sounds like they're Trump
haters.
Opposition people.
Yes, thank you.
And a lot of these rose up right after he was elected, and yep. they're not happy people.
Kristen Landrum. So how did the vote go down exactly?
It was split along party lines, so it was Steve Christie and Ellie Miller versus the three Democrats. Sharon Bronson did not say anything during the vote process, so it was Elias and Valadez who were basically saying, no, she's qualified and she's a good person and we're all for it. And Valadez is the one she had said she has a law enforcement background.
All right, Dan, thanks for everything, man. Appreciate the conversation and the reporting, as always, sir.
Thank you.
Coach Tony Amato coming up.